Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As our custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures. Can we go ahead? We want to take our anchor scriptures, the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 43 to 47. Shall we appreciate the presence of Elder Martin? Elder Martin, you're welcome. Whatever is bringing to Accra should continue bringing you to Accra in Jesus' name. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 43 to 47. Please do what to read along if you have your Bible with you, or we all moved or lift up our head to read together. Okay. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staffs? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the army of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee unto my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Hallelujah. So this, sometimes some of the things that you are praying for is to prove to people that there is God. There is God. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 14 to 18. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 14 to 18. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel had forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shall thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of what? Shaphat. Is it Shaphat or Shaphat? Shaphat of Abel Mihola. As you can see. Can we continue? Shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room? The very important part. And it shall come to pass that him that escaped the sword of Hazael, shall Jehu slay. And he that escaped the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. One man's anointing divided into three. Now, this is a part. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. All the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Hallelujah. Our last reading that we are all going to read together, 1 Timothy chapter 1, the verse 18. Timothy, my son. Can never forget that retreat. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. Oh, we are reading together. Okay, now we'll stop the anchor scripture because people don't want to read with me. I know you don't read your Bible in the week. That's why I intentionally do anchor scriptures every day. We will all read the scripture for the first 5 minutes of the sermon. Let's go. Or next week we will start from the first reading to the last reading. Do you want us to start that way? Okay, now let's go. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou might You see how you are using the King James to dance over here. You don't like reading King James. You see now? So let's take it again. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Hallelujah. We are bringing to an end possessive prayers, part 3. Today is the part 3, possessive prayers. And I want to announce to you that I'll be wrapping up with the teachings on teachers to pray, as I've been instructed in my spirit to switch. God willing, next month we will start looking at matters concerning destiny. So I want you to prepare, because we'll be talking about destiny. So I'll be wrapping up with 2 more messages. I'm not done. There are about 3 other huge sub series on prayer that I'm shelving them now. When we are done with destiny and God touches my heart to come back, I'll come back to them. Hallelujah. But they are very equally important. Okay. So we need to look at the various complements of prayer. What prayer works together with. The concept of consecration, the concept of obedience, all those stuff, they are there. But now I'll shelve it until God instructs me. But God willing, next month, we are starting with what? Destiny. I hope you are so interested in destiny. Okay. All right. So we will be wrapping up with prayer, or teach us to pray. God willing, next week we'll be looking at possessive prayers, and then we wrap up with praying in the spirit. Very important topic I want to teach, because there are a lot of controversies about praying in the spirit. A lot of issues about chanting, a lot of issues about all these things. We will look at what God says about them with regards to our prayer life. Are we there? So, quick recap. I'm just going to do a quick recap, because it's a continuation of what we have been doing. Last week, we were looking at what? The 2 forms of possessive prayers. The first one was what? Possessing the gate of our destiny. And then what? Laying claims to what? Divine provisions, or God's provisions. Now, possessing the gate of our destiny, we found out that gate stands for what? Legal entry and what? Exit. So when we say you are possessing gate, or you possess the gate, means that you give access for entry or exit. You determine what goes in and comes out. We found out that there are certain things that serve as gates and affect our destiny. Number one, we look at physical location. We said that there are certain possible places that are physical location, and they can be gates onto certain spiritual portals. We found that Jacob discovered one. Hallelujah. And I mentioned unto you, Nungukwu, and your face changed over here. Is that not it? Your faces were changing. And we move on to find out that time is also a gate. And we find out that we need to possess the gate of time, because sufficiency is what? Evil for us each day. So we have to learn to shut the gate of evil for the day and open up the blessings of God for our lives for us the day. Then we move on into what? Institutions, families, and what? Nations and other corporate entities. And we find out that God thinks about family. God always wants to deal with people together, and that with regards to that, the individual can be a point of entry and not exit. Do you remember that? So we found out that when Samuel was alive, the Bible recorded in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10 to 17, if I'm right. The Bible recorded that when Samuel was alive, give me the verse 13 if I'm right. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 13. We found out that Philistines never encroached the coast of what? Israel. Because Samuel was alive. Why? Because Samuel was what? A gate man who was in Israel and possessed the gate. Are we there? So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of what? Samuel. So as Samuel was alive, the hand of the Lord was against them. Do you know that the very moment Samuel died, Goliath rose up? But if you find out the record of Goliath, you find out that the man has been fighting many years, because they say he was a veteran of war. So where was he when Samuel was alive? Where was he? Goliath was existing. But because there was a gatekeeper in Israel, the Bible said that the Lord was against them until the gatekeeper left. So we must understand that we can be gatekeepers of our families, of the institutions and place we are. And therefore, as Christians, we must know that, number one, we should be interested in leadership positions so that we can be gatekeepers to permit and to what? Forbid. Also, as Christians, when we find ourselves in institutions and positions that we have the authority to exercise authority over there, we must become what? Gates. So Joseph said, the king of Egypt said to Joseph, only in the throne shall I be greater than you. Only in the throne. And that is what the believer must become. That only in the throne, only in titles, shall your bosses be greater than you. But when we talk about those who are deciding matters in the house, it is you. Do you know that this is the principle of witchcraft? That is how a five-year child is in the house. Only in physical age are you greater than her. But spiritually, she will deal with you. Are you with me? Because they understand how to possess gates. Are we there? Now, we are moving to the two other aspects of what? Possessive prayers. And we are looking at what? Enforcing kingdom decrees. And then fulfilling or also enforcing prophetic words concerning what? Our lives. Are we there? So we want to look at what? Enforcing kingdom decrees. The way and manner in which I've taken my time to explain the Resolving Spiritual Conflict book, I want you to really, really follow the message. Because if you really understand the way I am explaining the concept, it will be very easier for you to use it. Are we there? Now, I'm going to tell you why, in this very aspect, why we come to church on Sunday and we take declarations. Are you with me? Now, let's follow. When it comes to matters of enforcing kingdom decrees, or the reason why we enforce kingdom decree is because of evil atmosphere. Evil what? Now, what is the word atmosphere? The word atmosphere has a lot of definitions, but figuratively, the word atmosphere is defined as the apparent mood felt in an environment. So, when we say there is an atmosphere over here, we are talking about the mood, the emotions, the weight that is within this atmosphere. Are we there? So if you go to place, you can know that this, the atmosphere over here, is an atmosphere of what? Sadness. Are you there? When you go to some places, an atmosphere of what? Joy. This is what I'm talking about as atmosphere. So what makes it an evil atmosphere? Let's look at the definition of the word evil. Evil is defined as something profoundly immoral, number one, wicked, or malevolent. In other words, evil encompasses actions, behaviors, and intentions that are out harmful, destructive, and morally wrong. Shall I take it? In other words, evil encompasses actions, number one, behaviors, number two, and intentions that are what? Harmful, destructive, and morally what? Wrong. So now let's put the two together. I've given the definition of what? Atmosphere. And I've given you the definition of what? Evil. Now when you put all together, you are going to get a simple statement as this. An evil atmosphere, a mood that promotes actions, behaviors, and intentions that are what? Harmful, destructive, and morally what? Wrong. So when we said we are dealing with an evil atmosphere, we are talking about an atmosphere that creates an enabling environment for evil. That creates an enabling environment for what? Moral corruption. Are we there? Wickedness. Harmful and destructive actions and behaviors of people. It is an atmosphere. If that atmosphere is not there, it will not be done. Can I give you a typical example? When you enter the... Okay, let me put that one aside. What are you smiling at? But if you know that if you enter a place that they smoke, okay, brotherhood have sat and they are having communion. Are you with me? The atmosphere over there... Should I continue? Maybe you may not participate in that communion. Do you understand? But if that atmosphere is being charged, if you enter there, you yourself, you notice that you have what? Entered another atmosphere. Are you there? Eh? And if you don't take care, you live in that community, it is just a matter of time you can join the brotherhood. Are we on the same page? There is a mood in the university that when you enter there in level 100, you are likely to fool. Do I have a witness in the house? Especially if you are in the May Hall. There is a Friday mood we create in the May Hall. We call it a stress-releasing mood, a.k.a. Jama. Ah, do I have the Katanga here? come on, what are you there? Casford is calling now. Casford is calling. We have our special Friday night. Am I lying? We call it our stress reliever night. Last time, Caesar was sharing something with me that when he was in level 100, he dressed fine. He was going out and said, a guy with you, said, you Friday, we are doing Jama. You are not a guy at all. You don't deserve this. All. Are you following? So people go to university, innocent as they are, an atmosphere will be created on Friday, and you'll be so surprised. You know, sometimes those guys, if you meet them one-on-one, you will never believe that they can walk naked. There was one in my there was one in my class. The guy is the most quiet person I've ever seen. When we go for lectures, decent dressed, back there. One day we close from lectures, level 100. That night I saw this guy. He was wearing a lady's J-string. They do that. And the way he was, I said, hey. I said, hey, wow. Don't judge a book by his cover. I was shocked. I said, hey. Anything is possible here. Monday morning, decently dressed. You see what mood can do. So when we talk of an evil atmosphere, we are talking of a mood that can motivate people, cause a change of action and behavior, that they can do things that do yourself. Are we there? Are you there? So that did you always say something that whenever you see those gang, separate them one by one and deal with them. You will find out that they are weak when they are alone. Are you really with me? Good. Therefore, how does this atmosphere affect us? How is the atmosphere created? Number one, let's look at this. Evil atmosphere are created by words, because words are spiritual gases. We all know that the physical atmosphere is formed by what? Various forms of gases. Is that not it? Spiritual atmosphere are formed by what? Words. Because words are spiritual gases. Therefore, when bitter words, are you listening to me? Sharp and hurtful words, immoral words, all kinds of words that is not aligned, okay, with scripture, are released or are traded among people, they end up forming a spiritual atmosphere. That is the mood. And those mood can be a mood of what? Strife. Are you with me? Anger. Lust. And this mood will fuel all kinds of evil. So if I want to create a lustful atmosphere over here, it's all I need to do is to find words that can make you lustful. At least if I get a song of Celine Dion, she'll do the job for me. If I want you to act stupidly and do this behavior, do you know which Ghanaian artist will you recommend? I didn't say some. Then you see an old man holding a tree, one corner. Did you see that video those days when that song came out? As if people were possessed. Yes, there are words, they create atmosphere. So they are going to let, so that is an atmosphere of lust, foolishness. So like people will do anything. Are you with me? Are you on the same page? So when we release those words, they create those. So if I, when you see people, a mood of anger, what happens next? Distraction. When people are angry, it's not a distraction. That's why you find out that all civil wars started with words. There cannot be war without words. All fights started with words. Hey, where Jimmy Anna? Who's where Jimmy Anna? Just
When we are coming, I saw those two at Rotterdam Universal Park. I know by this time there's some blues as well. I'm sure one went to hit one at the back, and when you go down, the first one with Jimmy and I said, atmosphere has been set. Blues will flow. Do you really get it now? Are we on the same page? So this is how atmosphere have been created. So when words are released, they create this atmosphere. Then when the mood is created, evil can be what? Perpetrated. How harmful is this to our possessive life? It's very harmful because number one, follow. Give me the book of 1 John chapter 5 verse 19. The Bible says that this world is in the embrace of a personality who is called a wicked one. Follow me. And this personality, I'm going to show you where his strength is and why we have to be very careful with evil atmosphere. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in what? Wickedness. Other translation, lieth in the embrace of the wicked one. This wicked one, where is his place of strength? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 to 2. Look at something here. So we know that this whole world is under the motivation and control of a wicked person. Now that wicked person, where is his strength? Do you know that spiritually, when we talk about the strength of somebody, we refer to the person as a prince. Are you with me? Now let's find the strength of this one. Ephesians, I said, and you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to what? The prince of the power of what? The air. So this wicked one we are talking about, his place of major strength, where he's called a prince over, is what? The air. Atmosphere. So all the acts and activities of the devil, they are only powerful when the atmosphere is created for him. When an atmosphere is created, he's able to rule, because princes have what? Thrones. Are you with me? So why should a believer be mindful of atmosphere? Because when there is an evil atmosphere, I can promise you that the strength of the devil is what? Strengthened. Because it is in that atmosphere he's called a prince. Not on this earth. The ground, no. Not on the land. But when it comes to the air, he's the prince. Ha. He's the prince. Hence, the wicked one operates from this point of stronghold, which is the air, by causing men to use words to create an enabling atmosphere for him. Are you with me now? Since he knows that his strength of oppression, I want you to follow very well. Since the devil knows that his strength of oppression and his ability to take charge of a place and cause his work to be done, evil to be done, is in the atmosphere, he always incites people to use what will give him that atmosphere, which is what? Words. So people will be on television, on radio, through music and other stuff, will release words that are evil decrees. And when those words are released, what do? They create what? A mood. Then the prince that is in charge of that mood or in charge of the atmosphere will now come to what? Reside in it. Even God, the Bible says, when our praises goes up, what comes down? The Bible says he resides in the praise of his what? His people. So if that atmosphere, their shrines, covings, and other places, they release this words. The wicked one. Listen, his name is what? The wicked one. He is the prince of what? Atmospheres. So when he gets hold, that is where you see wickedness. That is why when they organize all this jama and everything, you can see that an innocent girl you never believe can do things you cannot, you'll be surprised of. Why? The wicked one is in his place of abode, which is what? The air. Are we there? So a song can be released, and that song will be in the atmosphere, and will create conducive atmosphere for what? And then you see people living according to the patterns of that song. Are you all with me? A celebrity or a figurehead can make a statement which is an evil decree, and because atmosphere at the stronghold of what? The evil one or the wicked one, when those statements are made in that atmosphere, he takes advantage. So when somebody make a statement that this will happen, you see that evil one takes advantage of it and begins to attack. So what betides you as a believer? You go to a place and you think that that atmosphere, you don't take your hold of it. You have issues. Because the evil one will be there, and do you know what he does? He will enforce his decrees. Check. When this atmosphere are created, anything evil in line with the atmosphere created can be enforced. And in that judaization, this is why Goliath cursed David. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 43. Let's read again. What was David, a 17-year-old boy without any military experience, going at war against a veteran of war, a giant of 6 fingers and 6 toes, a man whose spear men have to carry it on their shoulder, still decided that by way of a triumphing over all, David will come when he released the right atmosphere. So what did he do? And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog? Thou hast come to me with staffs. And David, and the Philistine did what? Cursed David by his what? His gods. Why did he do that? He was creating an enabling atmosphere that can help him to enforce what he wants to do. I pray for you. Any man or woman who have gone to release words to create an enabling atmosphere to inflict you, Mandovre Satakaya, let the God of hosts of Israel descend on that matter. Don't take words lightly. That words will rule. Train now, be who now you didn't hear. What was 17-year-old boy to a giant? Why should he curse him? Because the atmosphere must be right, and that atmosphere means that when the prince of the atmosphere comes down, no matter what David will do, you fail. David was not quiet. Let's read. What did David do? So I'm coming here. So now enforcing kingdom decrees. What does it mean? When we enter an atmosphere, the first thing we have to do is that we must make sure that that atmosphere is not ruled by the prince of what? The air. How do we do it? We permit the laws of God to be what? Enforced in that atmosphere. So what are the laws of God? Whatever it is not of God, whatever is not of the kingdom of God, we dissipate it from that place. Are you on the same page? So when David entered into the battlefield with this man, and this man pronounced his word, David said, okay, fine. Let me also release my kingdom decrees. And he did the same thing. Let's go. Then David said unto the Philistine, that has come unto me with what? Sword. And with what? Spear. And with what? Shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the army of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. Now listen to what David said. He now pronounced on him what will happen to him. That was the law. Are you following? That was the law. And that was a kingdom decree. God has already decreed that they should condemn and destroy everybody. So David said that I have authority to destroy you, and I'm going to release it on you because it is the decree of the Most High, and it shall stand. What did he say? Then David said unto the Philistine, thou hast come. Move on, verse 46. This day will the Lord, can you hear it? Say, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give thee I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the earth, the air. I'll feed the enemy of his own flesh. Kuvela brasatakaya. He said to him that the fowls of the air you have called into this matter, it is you that you feed upon. Because the Lord said, he shall give you of their flesh, and he shall drink their own blood. I will not be used to appease that God you have called here. I will use you to appease the same God. So if you pronounce a curse on me, I will make sure that you will become the replacement of all that sacrifice. If anybody declare a curse on you, you must become like David and reverse that curse and make sure that that person becomes the sacrificial lamb for that curse. You call on the fowl of the fowls of the air, that demonic agent, the prince of the air, the wicked one, to come and enforce your work. No, don't worry. God will let me use you as a appeasement to him. And this day, unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. I pray for you. This is what you must do. Enforcing kingdom decrees. When you go to a territory, your job is to make sure that people know that there is a God over there. atmosphere will possess a place by enforcing the decrees of God. Why? Because there are always evil atmosphere around us. So you see why we come to church? We take declarations. Huh? You see why we come to church? We take declarations. When you go to a new place, make it your habit. Some of you go to places, you sleep wild dreams. Wild, wild things. You go to an environment, see that the things that are going over there, you can't understand. You must arrest the prince of the air. You must dislocate him from that place. It seems some of you have not noticed what has happened here. When we came here, we started church. What was the common thing you see around here? I want to see people who are observant. What was the common thing? Mad people. Mad people. I remember Pastor Collins called me and told me that, I think you remember the vision he shared about this place. That this was a hard ground. It was very common that some could even climb to the top here in the course of service. Or you think those declarations we are doing were not working? Where are they now? Now, when you enter, you could see this atmosphere is what? Loose. When we came at first, there used to be, I don't know whether it is about or not, they used to play a lot of secular song Sundays. How many of you have been listening? What? Whilst we are soaking God, they are also. Where are they now? Enforcing kingdom what? You must know that when you see certain things you do, you see, your mind was not on it too, because you thought we were just saying words. No, we were already dissipating the atmosphere. So the what nights we were coming for? When I say breakthrough, you thought it was for you. Oh no, we were breaking through this atmosphere. The previous night, when we come and we're praying at the previous night, what we're doing is that we're dissipating the atmosphere. You watch. If we should stay here for another 1 year, everything here will prosper. Why? Because we have cleared the atmosphere. Enforcing kingdom what? Decrease. So you must know that the evil one's strength is in the atmosphere. And whenever you go there, you must make sure that it doesn't gain grounds at his place of what? Strength. In the name of Jesus, you declare and you take over that place. So how do we do that? You can tell, see, the devil use music, words, and other stuff to what? Saturate the atmosphere. Get those things to help him to operate. Ah, if Elder Prince will remember, do you know that when we were, Elder Martin, I think you may remember this very well. When we used to go to schools to preach, and Papa, we do those counseling things. Do you notice that majority of the ladies who come with issues of lust, one way or the other, were listening to hip-hop or Westlife? Majority of them. Atmosphere. Yes, atmosphere. Be careful of the songs you listen to. They have impact on you. We will talk about this. So, words, songs, all these things are used to charge an atmosphere. You must dissipate them. How do we go about number one? Engage godly spiritual music. Let me use the word God. Godly spiritual. Don't go and play. Yeah, yo. Number two. There are some favorite gospel artists I like playing them. Do you sing? Chiu, Nathan Ebasi, Victor Orinze. And when it comes to Ghana, my favorite is Adam Riku. I can soak him for 24/7. Yes, hallelujah, no crying prayer enough to clear the atmosphere for you. Oh yeah, boom, 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 boom. It just said things are living. I love a lot of, and I tell you, listen to me, Pentecostal tunes, that's how they call it, Church of Pentecost, their songs, do listen to them. Their songs are very powerful. They do a lot of damage in the atmosphere. Spiritual, godly songs. Spiritual. Some songs are too light. The devil even uses it to dance. Now, I hear now the current one that is trending on TikTok is Satan, the number you are calling. To us, where? So, this one of them. Hallelujah. Number two. As of you've not heard it. Oh, you're not on TikTok. They say, now the Satan, the number he's calling is not available. No. It's now the hit song. I hit it rough. Number two, anointed messages can be used. Anointed messages. I used to. Until senior man came, I used to do that a lot. I'll play Daddy Joe's message. Daddy Joe, I used to listen to Kenneth Hagin a lot. That was UCC Ash, Kenneth Hagin. Then this man, Apostle Aromi. I used to listen to him a lot. But Daddy Joe, dear, that one, your family said, Drew, we take it as medicine. Are you with me? And those days, it's not like how we are spiritually mature now that when you listen to his message once, you can be able to catch it all. Those days, you can listen to one message for 1 week, you are still not getting the head and tail of. Then some of them, you call him and say, Daddy, this one, you help me to understand the message. Because I've tried my best. Those days we used to struggle. Hallelujah. But anointed messages can shift an atmosphere for you. Anointed message. Anointed message. So all these things must go along with prayers that enforces God kingdom decrease. And we thank God for the prayer samples that our Father has given us. So get enriched prayer decrease full of scriptures. And you measure when you notice that the atmosphere is polluted. For example, you are staying close to a biaba like I stay close to. Don't joke. So what we say, we are enforcing kingdom decrees. We are trying to what? Dislocate the prince of the air from a lot, a jurisdiction. Such that he will not get advantage of things that people are saying. So when somebody issue evil, when I hear anybody say that want Queen Ghana, I say it will not happen. I cancel it. I will not allow you. Do you really get it? Yeah. Yes. A whole big politician, one of the opposition politician leader, said Ghana is overripe for coup. When I heard that day, I went to pray. May it go back to the normal state. Ghana is not ripe for coup. We are not ready for coup. You thought it's a light word there. It's not a light word. Now, the current statement that is coming out, Kenya is coming to Ghana. Kenya is not coming to Ghana. I do not mean that. Sorry. We are going to allow politicians to take advantage of us. But it will not cost the lives of men to let them change. Yes, there's a way we can do it that nobody will lose their life. So when people are making those statements, please, you think that when their blood is shed, when we did strongholds of how demonic strongholds are built in a place, murder. You think that when innocent blood are shed, you think we'll go scot-free as a nation? No! We're not going to scoff. Hallelujah. Quickly. Enforcing prophetic words. This is the place that you will spend some time to settle it. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Are we on the same page? Can I move on? Okay. What are prophetic words? Prophetic words are God's artistic images. I'm just quoting what our Father has given us. He releases through the gift of the word of wisdom or through dreams and visions. They are intended to communicate or show us how the future is going to be like. Are we on the same page now? So, prophetic word are God's artistic images, the images that God draw or give us. And the channels are word of what? Wisdom or dreams or what? Visions. What is the purpose? To give us an idea of what the future is going to be like. And what future are you talking about? The plans and purposes of God for an individual, a family, or a nation. Now, know his plan and purpose, one of the things he does is also that he gives you the utterance. Are you following me? He gives you the utterance, that is the ability to speak it out. This is when the prophetic word becomes what? A prophecy. Follow me very well. Are you following me? Now, when God gives you the privilege to have knowledge of what his plan is, by revealing it to you through word of knowledge, through dreams and visions, that prophetic word becomes prophecy when God asks you to speak it out. So do you see the difference between prophetic word and prophecy? So if I said I've received a prophetic word, it means that by word of wisdom, which is a gift, or by dreams of vision, I have been able to buy into the counsel of God. I have been able to see into God's plan, what God is thinking. But I can only speak it when God said what? Speak. And the moment I speak that word out, that word ceases to become only a prophetic word. It becomes what? A prophecy. Therefore, prophecy simply means the declaration of God's mind to his creation through a vessel. So whenever God declares his mind, and the mind of God is what he wants for you, his plans, his purposes, when God declares it, it becomes what? Prophecy. We are just taking some definitions. Are we there? Now let's move on. Now, prophecies are also premised on the speakings of God. Therefore, we declare what God has spoken, but not what he is thinking. Take note. You can know what God is thinking, but we don't declare what God is thinking. We declare what God has what? Spoken. Amos chapter 3 verse 8. So when we know what God is thinking, it is word of wisdom. Are you with me now? When we know what God is thinking, and we get that privilege to know what he's thinking, he reveals it to us. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways are not your ways. So we can know the thought of God. But it only becomes prophecy when he asks us to speak out. Now see, said, the lion are what? Roared. Who would not fear? The Lord God are what? Help me. The Lord God has done what? Who can but what? Prophesy. So the Lord God is not thinking. The Lord God has what? Spoken. And that is when we do what? We prophesy. So prophecy is what, when what God is thinking, he has spoken it out, and now when he speaks it out, we are charged to what? Speak it. And when we speak what God has spoken, it becomes what? Prophecy. So if I notice something about you, this is the mindset of God for you, but God has not spoken it yet. If I speak it, it's not a prophecy. It will never function as a prophecy. That is why you should stop going to men of God and said, what is God's, no, what can you see about me? I can see, but the question is, am I permitted to tell you? So now some of you understand why I said I can't tell you. Now people are understanding me now. So sometimes some people can say, God showed me something about you, but I can't say it now. I'm praying through it. I am praying because I've not been giving clearance to what? So when I speak it out, I may go ahead of God, and that word can be what? Futile. It will not work. Hence, word of wisdom is knowing what God is thinking. However, it becomes a prophecy when it comes out of the mouth of what? A vessel, which is what? Declaration. Do you all get it now? Do you get it now? So most of the prophetic service you have been going for, I can guarantee that only 5% is prophecy. The rest are word of wisdom. That is why you are not they are not manifesting in your life. Because there was no any legal backing. And you know, whatever God has not spoken, he will never back it. The thought of God becomes his word when he speaks it. And you watch over his word to perform, not we watch over his thought. Ah, have you heard that? Jeremiah chapter 1, he said, I watch over my heart, my word, and I'll do what? Not his thought. So most of the prophetic service we go for, I can tell that 90% are the word of wisdom. They have seen it, but there are no clearance to say them. So they speak it, there's no backing. But we are looking at what? Enforcing what? Prophetic words. Enforcing the word of God. What God has said. Now, what is the character of what? Prophecy. I want to help you understand what I'm talking about. So now I've told you what prophecy is, okay? What God has what? Spoken. We what? Prophesy. So what is the character of prophecy? Follow me very well. I'm teaching this because it will help you to understand why there is a role of you to enforce what God has said. Are you with me? It is God who spoke. What has it got to do with me? I am in somewhere and you say something about me. Why must I enforce it? Are we on the same page? The character of prophecy will let you know that there is a role you play. Are we there? So number one, the first one. The first character that we all need to know about prophecy is that prophecies are not automatic. It takes two people or two entities to make a prophecy what? A reality. Why? Because the purposes of God, are you listening to me? For this earth time or for this earth realm is subjected to the cooperation of man because man has authority over this place. Therefore, both negative prophecy, whether God or the devil, or positive prophecy are conditional. They are not automatic. Not even ordained prophecies. I'll come there. Let's read the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. God never... if I want to give you a typical picture over here. Let's say I rented this room or I rented a room to you. Is that not it? Huh? And then there is an issue in that room. Can I just walk into that room and fix it? If you say you don't want me to fix it, can I do anything about it? That is how prophecy is. God has a thought for you. He has spoken it now. It has been spoken, prophesied. It will only have effect when you are willing that that word will have effect. So the first character of a prophecy that is not automatic. No prophecy is automatic. For all the promises of God in him are what? Yea. Means that in him they are true. God continues. And in him what? Amen. So the yea is the true nature of God and his faithfulness. The amen is us. Are we on the same page? Are we on the same page? So God will declare, man must say what? Amen. First character. So by this first character, you know that no matter what God says, are you with me? No matter what God has declared, there is a role you must what? You must play. So don't chase after prophecies when you are not ready to play your part. Are we all there? Can I continue? Okay. Number two. The second character of prophecy is that it is either an ordained prophecy or foreseen prophecy. Now, when we start the school of the prophetic or the school of the prophets, I'll teach a lot about prophecy. And you understand a lot of prophecy. There are dimensions, there are functions of prophecy, there are systems of operations in prophecy. You find out that every believer is to prophesy. Now, the first two categories of prophecy you have to understand that we have what we call the ordained prophecies and the foreseen prophecies. Now, how are they operationalized? Number one, an ordained prophecy is the Bible dimension of prophecies. Usually, they are Bible dimension, recorded word of God in the Bible, the one you have over there. They are backed by God's integrity and will never fail. No matter how the devil fights it. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 10 to 11. So every prophecy of God that is captured in the Bible. Are you listening to me? Any word of God that has been written down. We call them ordained. They are ordained by God. And I'll tell you why they are called ordained. For as much. So this scripture. It is only reflective to ordained prophecy. Not foreseen prophecy. When you come there, you understand. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not neither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and the bread to the eater. Verse 11. So shall my heart, my word, be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me what? Void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. This is an ordained prophecy. It's not foreseen prophecy. Follow me very well. Most times, we quote these scriptures, and I want to help you. Only the prophecies that are only activated by this scripture are ordained prophecies. They are backed by God's integrity. They will never fail. They are the highest form of prophecies. The highest form of prophecies, which God made sure that they are recorded in the Bible as sacred words and are things He Himself has purposed to do to bring glory to Himself. So, ordained prophecies are sacred words. Do you know the life in the Logos or the book we have is the prophecies in it? Take all the prophetic book out of the Bible and it's just a normal novel. What makes it spiritual? What gives life to it? What makes it sacred are the ordained prophecies in them. Yes. A typical example is the prophecies concerning the birth, the death, and the burial of Jesus and His resurrection. Are you following? They are sacred. And this one is what? Bring glory unto what? Unto God Himself. So in Isaiah chapter 46 verse 10. Can we read Isaiah chapter 46 verse 10? Declaring the end from the what? The beginning. And from the ancient times the things that are not yet what? Done. Say, my counsel shall what? Stand. And I will do all my heart pleasure. Ordained prophecies. Are we on the same page now? Okay. Because of time, I want to move quickly. So with this kind of prophecies, God Himself, I told that no prophecy is God automatic. With this kind of prophecy, God Himself will invest and raise people who are cooperate with Him and align with Him to get it done. No matter what. So in the book of Luke chapter 1 verse 38, we saw that God raised a lady called Mary to align with Him for the birth of Jesus. Nobody else but Mary. So this one, God Himself would come down to make sure that He raised somebody. To make sure that what is of His pleasure, it will not mess. Now let's come to the one that is about us. Quickly. For sin prophecies. Are we there? These are usually God's plans and purposes for individuals, which is subjected to the full cooperation with God to see them come true. Now, for sin prophecies, they are not necessarily for God's pleasure because they are lesser purposes of God. They are to glorify you. So Jesus said unto God, glorify thy son, that thy son may what? Glorify what? Thee. So for sin prophecies brings glory to you. So these are God's plans and purposes that glorifies the believer. So if you don't live up to, you are not able to manifest that prophecy, it doesn't affect God because the glory is what? Yours. Are we on the same page? So these are personal and has nothing to do with God in terms of what? Glorifying God. In terms of being something that is the total pleasure of God. Thus, you have to put in your full cooperation to see it what? Manifest. This was what led to the statement that Paul made to Timothy that we read our last reading. He said, Timothy, my son, what should you do? Because of the prophecy that has gone ahead of you, wage a warfare. What he was trying to tell Timothy is that This one is not God's ordained prophecy. It's for sin. It is for you. It has nothing to do with him. If you don't wage warfare, you don't fully cooperate, when you miss it, it will not affect God. Are we on the same page? Quickly. Now, one character you have to understand about foreseen prophecies is this. That these prophecies are such that thousands of people can fit into them. They are God's plans. Follow me. They are God's plans and purposes for humanity. Not you. I don't know if you're following me. They are God's plans and purposes for humanity. So the day that Adam failed, God blessed Noah with the same blessing. Did God change the blessing for Noah? He said the same thing. Be fruitful. Multiply. It tells you that is God's plan and purposes. Anybody here can fit into it. Are we on the same page? Anybody? So those seven dimensions of God's blessing that Jesus secured for us, which is God's word, that is the prophecy for us. The counsel of God, it is not designed only for you. Thousands of people cannot fit into it. Hence, the moment you slack, another person is there to replace you. You just slack. You just do fin. So in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, the verse 16. From verse 14, Elijah said, I have been jealous for you, God. And the entire Israel have turned their back on you. They have slain all your prophets. And even I, who is left alone, they want to slay me. And God said, young man, you think you are the only one I've prepared for my divine purposes? You think you are the only one? Okay, first of all, let me show that there are already people waiting. Marking time. There are three people. Quick, give it to them. And pack your things and come home. You think you are the only one I have? Come on, give Elisha some. Give Jehu some. And give who? Hazael some. Now, if he said, even these three people, I've prepared 7,000 behind them. If they do think, I'll get 7,000 people. So some of us, when we are here and we come to church and the prophecy comes that you are going to do this, you are going to do that, God is going to do this with you, you are going to do this. Let me tell you, you are not the only person. No. There are people marking time behind you. In the book of Acts chapter 6, 1 verse 20. Give me verse 20. I think, yeah. Verse 20. I wanted to start from verse 16. For it's written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be what? Desolate. And let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric, let another what? Take. This was a prophecy. We are talking about Judas Iscariot. Jesus himself called him. Among all the people on this earth, he was called to be part of the 12 disciples. As if he was not replaceable. Peter was telling them that he is replaced. So when we talk of foreseen prophecies, they are not designed for you alone. So if you come to church and the prophet said that I see that you in your family, you have traveled, don't think you are the only one who can travel. If you don't comply, another man will go. You will miss it. It will not affect God. So if you hear and say that we saw that God has raised you up and you are a big evangelist, go and ask that monkey. God told you that you are the seventh person I've called. And if you refuse, I'll get another person. I'll let you in that monkey. He said, you are the seventh person I've called to do this crusade. The other six, they said they'll not come. Yet still, if you refuse, I'll get a replacement. This is where many Christians don't understand. That they think that you come and prophet said that I see you travel. You think it is for you alone. Are you the only person in your family? A joke. When you're in the ministry and they call you, yes, we see the prophetic anointing. God is going to use you. You are there, your head is doing you like, hey, if I leave God, you move out. You see another prophet sharper than you. Oh, I see that you have been a big pastor. You are doing this. So Elder Abu is here. Then we give a prophecy. We saw that he's a revivalist. He is going to take the mantle of great revivalist. Then Elder Abu is there, God, I'm the only one. That's the day God said, hey, Isema, take it. He's not serious. Take it. So, for sin prophecies, it is designed such a way that there are thousands of people who can fit into that. I pray for you that you will not think that you are the only option for God. God will use a man, but not necessarily you. So it's a privilege. It's a privilege. That they so thought that he was the only one fit as a king. God said, I've rejected you. Not that you are the throne. No. I have what? Rejected you. So dangerous. Forcing prophecies. Now, these prophecies are mostly about one, marriages. Number two, wealth. Number three, ministry. Number four, career. Number five. You think that you are the only person that that man can marry? Eh? You mess around. You find out there's already there's an Esther behind you. Everybody's replaceable. Everybody's bishopric can be taken. You think you are the only one that God can make you wealthy? No. That wealth can be taken from you. Your career, God can change. Put somebody there. Are we on the same page? So that is why Paul told Timothy, as for these prophecies, they are not ordained. They are foreseen. You must make sure that they come to pass by what? Waging a good warfare. Fight for it. So it is very dangerous when you go for prophetic services and they give you prophecy and you go and sit. You are in trouble. Time factor. Let me move on. A typical nature of this prophecy also is that they are locked up in the spirit of the individual, that because the spirit of the individual are storehouses. Another thing about foreseen prophecy is that you are already born with it. Even before you were born, it was already in the spirit with you. Are we all there? So God said to Jeremiah, before you became a blood club, I knew and I already ought. I said, what? A prophet. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's read. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the heart, the spirit of man, which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of what? God. So nobody knows you better than your spirit. Why? Because everything that God has made you, you will become, is in your heart. Your spirit. If I stand here and I'm prophesying to you, do you know what I'm doing? I am reading from your spirit what God has what placed there. Some of them you will know, some of them you may not know, but that doesn't mean that something new, they're already what there. So this is why we pray that the channels of our spirit what open up, that we will know what God has what hidden in our heart, our spirit. Are you on the same page? Wonderful. So, these hidden treasures in your warehouse, God can use word of wisdom through men to reveal them to you, or the Holy Spirit himself can pick it up and place it on your heart, on the screen of your mind, and they'll manifest as what? Visions and what? Dreams. Foreseen prophecies. Are you following me? So they are in you. But remember that you are not the only one having it. Another person is also having it. See, when I realized it, and I've been very careful, because I know that the very day I'll mess here, there are about 7,000 people marking time. What you understand is, you know that serving God is a privilege. If you go today, God will find a replacement. When you die, God has not lose; he gains. Are we there? So the Holy Spirit is able to search and bring it into your dream beds, or what you call your mind what screens. So in the book of Joel chapter 2 verse 27 and 20, it said that he shall pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall what? Prophesy. It was talking about what? This dimension. The things will come out of you. So you shall what? Have dreams and what? Visions. It is the things that God has hidden in your spirit that will be brought out. Now, the final aspect of it. I want to make sure that I finish this thing. I'll be done soon. Okay? I can't jump it. Now, the final character of foreseen prophecies, are we there? Is this, that they naturally attract the devil's attention. Here's the problem. Why? They attract the devil's attention because the only mission that the devil has on this earth is to steal, to do what? Kill, and to do what? Destroy. So whenever he finds out that God has a plan and purposes for you. When he comes, all he wants to do is to what? Either steal it, or kill it, or what? Destroy it. So, the devil is interested in what God wants to say about you, but he has no knowledge. Do not, the devil does not know what God wants to do about you tomorrow. Jeremiah chapter 29, said, verse 11, said, I alone know the thought I have about you. I alone, nobody knows. So, as we are here, the devil has no knowledge about what will become. The Bible said, if they had known, they wouldn't have what? Crucified what? Jesus. So, the devil has no knowledge. The prince of the devil have no knowledge. He has no knowledge about it. So, the only time he can know what you can become is when the prophecy is what? Released. That's why you should be very careful when prophecies are given. That is the only time he knows. Now, okay. So, God says that he's going to take this young man to... Okay, fine. Agent A, B, C, D, can you start doing cross-examining and get us some legal cases that we can? Are you with me now? So, that is how the devil gets to know. So, anytime there is a prophecy, the devil goes to work. That anytime, any prophecy you have received, there is a demonic agent working tirelessly, finding way out to what? Overturn it. Because that is the only way they know the mind of God for you. So, how does the devil frustrate or attack this? Listen, this is very careful. When the devil finds out that God has declared his purposes and intentions about you, know this very well, that the devil has no authority to fight that word. The devil cannot fight God's purposes. He has no power to overturn it. So, do you know what he does? He targets you. Why? Because you are the only person who can stop God's prophecy in your life. For a prophecy to fail, it is you. So anytime a prophecy comes out, the devil targets you. You don't want to receive the prophecy. Not the prophecy itself, because he cannot do anything about it. So what does he do? He starts to what? Deceive you. So you bring deceptions to what? Take you out of the sin. Are you following me? If deceptions doesn't work, he'll begin to what? Threaten you. If the threatening do not work, he will try to offer you a shortcut, a way out. So anytime a prophecy comes, know that the devil is coming for you. Forget the prophecy. You are the one he's targeting. Why? Because you are the only one who have the authority. So he will want to use you, that you use your authority to stop God. Are you on the same page? Are you on the same page? So in Genesis chapter 3, when he came, what did he do? He wanted to stop God's promises for Adam and Eve. What did he do? He used them. Was it the devil who plucked the fruit for him, for her? Did the devil touch the fruit? What did he do? He used them to what? Kill their own prophecies. It was the same strategy he went after Jesus. He said, you just bow to me. He came and tried Jesus to overturn or give him a shortcut and overturn the prophecy for his life. So anytime prophecy comes to you, anytime a prophecy comes concerning you, know that you are the target now. So the devil will come and find what are the things he can use to get you. So watch out. I said you should do what? So Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 to 5, you find out the devil came, and what he did, that he used them against their own word. Said, you shall become like God. Is that not a deception? Are they not God only? So he deceived them, thinking that he was on their side. And he tried it on Jesus too. If you are the son of God. Did he say he was not the son of God? So you always come and want to come and challenge your identity, and then say, be very watchful. When a prophecy, be watchful. You are the target. So how do you make sure that the devil does not use you against your own prophecy? I'm giving you 5, then we close. Are you following me? So this prophecy is for you. You must learn to what? Possess it, because you're not the only person who have it. I don't know if somebody's following me here. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? So if they say that you are going to be very well, you're not the only one. No? You must possess it. The people who receive the prophecy that will possess the land of Canaan, it's only 2 people who entered. you didn't hear that story. You are not aware of that story. That the 3 million people who left Egypt, with the promise that we are going to Canaan, it was only two. Only what? Can you just imagine? And God was not affected. They thought they were the only one that God has. I said, you people, you are not serious. I'll use your children to do my purpose. He cleared them all. Cleared them all in the desert. So you think that God said you are going to be a billionaire and you are fooling. You use your child to do it. Use your child. If your child fool, you use your grandchild. Your grandchild. As long as you keep fooling, God has time. It doesn't affect him at all. Because once you think, he has also raised another person behind you. The day I started being serious with God, I saw that my cousin Victor also started climbing up. I said, hey. So if I slack, this guy would have taken the anointing away. Hey, God always has a backup. God, you think, you just check around. All the prophecies you have received, you open your eyes and check in the family. You see that somebody is also showing signs of it. Or you have not, right now, you examine yourself. As you are sitting, check. You find that somebody is also showing signs of that prophecy. You slack. It will do you like sinning. You think you're the only option God has. So I want to teach you how to possess it. Because the devil will come to make sure that he frustrates it. And make sure that you, that prophecy will not happen in your life. So how do we possess it? Number one, believe it. First thing, whatever you don't believe, it shall not come to what? Pass. So when God speaks to you, believe it. It doesn't matter how absurd it will be. Don't be like that man who said, even if God opened the windows, God will open the windows and you not see it. Shut up. Don't become like, what is the name? Elizabeth's husband. John's father. What is the name? Zachariah. God will seal your mouth. He was lucky. He sealed his mouth. The other man was not lucky. He was trampled and he died. Shut up. And say, Lord, let it be unto me as what thou willeth. Believe it. Number two. Write them down. One of the problem of Christians. You have a dream, you never write it. If I ask you to bring your dream books out on Sunday, you'll not even get one for me. Write them down. When you write them down, it is a sign of seriousness. You are telling God, Lord, I take this thing serious and I'll follow up. Because when you write something down, it means that you come back to it. You are looking at my face now. Now you understand why I'm fighting you on that matter. Write it down. When you write them, it's like, God, and you see that the moment what I'm saying, you try it. The moment you start writing down prophecies, you see that a lot of them will start coming. When it comes by dreams and visions, you see you start receiving them. I don't used to dream more. But when I start writing down dreams, periodically I've been getting dreams. And they are connecting. When I add A, B, C, D, okay, this is the message. Then I pray through. Write them down. Anytime we show that God takes the prophecies we write down, very important. So in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2, he said, write it down. Give it to them. They should read it. I will not read it for them. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2. What God say over there? And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. The vision is what? Prophecy. And make it plain upon what? God called it. Maniye plain. God himself said that when I give you prophecy, do what? Write it down. But you not write it. Say, okay, you're not serious. I'll give it to the next person. Write it down. Revelation chapter 1 verse 11. Write it down. Number three. You must engage the spirit of wisdom after you have written it down. Why? Because every prophetic word comes along with instructions and steps to follow to see them manifest. When you receive a prophecy, there are instructions about it. So any prophecy, this is the word of Apostle John C. Suleiman. He said, any prophecy without a condition is an announcement. I'll never forget that word. He said, any prophecy without a condition is an announcement. So whenever you receive a prophecy, go and engage the spirit of wisdom and say that what are the conditions, which is what? The instructions and the what? Steps. Now, these instructions and steps are revealed through the spirit of wisdom. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 10. Quick. Time is fast, man. Today I've taken your time, but I'm working on you. I hope you are being blessed. You are being blessed, right? Good. I'm working on you. If the iron be blunt and he do not wield the edge, then must he put more strength. What did he say next? But wisdom is profitable to do what? Direct. So when the prophecy comes, what wisdom does is that it directs you. Direction. The spirit of wisdom, it directs you. Because it is the spirit, you know why? It is the spirit of wisdom who knows the place of that prophetic word in the bigger picture of God's what? Purposes and counsel. It is the spirit of wisdom. Only the spirit of wisdom. So in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17, said that God will give you what? The wisdom that you may know. Because it is only the spirit of wisdom that have full knowledge about the bigger counsel of God and what your prophetic word what fit into. For every lesser prophecies, lesser purposes of God given to you as prophecy, it is meant to fit into what? The bigger what? Purposes of God. So he knows that this prophecy, it what? Fit here. Are we there? So you must engage the spirit of what? And that's where we're going to look at positional prayers. The Pauline prayers. I'm going to talk about it. That is where positional prayers come in this situation. You remember I said that there are three. So positional prayers is now how to get these things to work for you. Number four, quickly. Have you written the scriptures down? So you can write Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 to 19. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 to 11. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 to 11. When you go home, make time and listen to the message again. You'll be blessed. Hallelujah. I said, I'm teaching how to possess that prophecy, else somebody will take it to. Somebody will do what? It will pain me, pan, that I will see it and I'll say it. And then somebody will come and take it away. And the devil will use you. So there are people who believe it, but they never write it down. And the devil just helped them not to write it down. God moved on. And those who wrote it down too, they didn't get the wisdom to engage the spirit of wisdom. Can you just understand? They didn't get the wisdom to engage the spirit of what? Wisdom. So it ended at the place they wrote it. Nothing else. Number four, commit it to God, because God is the one who knows the timing of the prophetic word. You are not the one who spoke the word. He is the one who what? Said it. He knows when it is going to what? Happen. So Lord, you said it. I bring it back to you. Because for every prophetic word has its gestation period. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 12, that we said, he said, I shall watch over my word. It means that the word will go through a process and I will do what? Perform it. So when he gives his word, give it back to him to what? Watch it. Oh God, you said this. Okay, now you are the security man. Lord, watch over it. Watch it too. I give it back to you. Take. I'm not going to possess it. I give it back to you so that you'll be the watchman. So please go and hire God. God is ready to do the security job. He will watch over it. Watchman, he will do it very well. That is his job. I will hasten my word to what? Perform it. When it comes to pass at its appointed time. What did I write over here? And no. So God what? Watch over it. For it to come to pass at it what? Appointed what? Time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11. The Bible said in his own time he makes all things what? Beautiful. So do you know what we do? When we give the prophecy back to God, there's only two things we do. We stay alert and what? Obedient. You stay what? Alert and what? Obedient. The book of Psalms chapter 37 verse 5. A lot of scriptures. Write it down. You can go and read it. Psalms chapter 37 verse 5. Now, the fifth thing you have to do concerning enforcing your heart, prophecy, possessing your prophecy, number five. So there are five things you have to do when you receive a prophetic word. Are you following? If you don't do them, it will pass by you. Number five, pray until you see the sign of what? Manifestation. Pray. I'm going to teach you the kind of prayer you should pray. Pray. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41 to 44, when Elijah gave out the word that the Lord had spoken to him, because it was God who told him in the beginning of verse chapter 18, that go, for I will send rain. And he came to prophesy it. What did he do? The Bible said he went on top of the mountain and prayed how many times? Seven times, until he saw a cloud of what? A fist of what? A cloud. Until he saw a fist of what? A cloud. So when God has said it, you have to what? Pray through it. What is the kind of prayer you pray? That's not the prayer you're going to pray over there. Are you with me? What are the prayers we have to pray? Number one, we must pray and thank God for the prophecy. Keep thanking Him that it's done. Even though you have committed to it, you have to keep thanking Him. That's your prayer. Number two, you have to pray to put Him into remembrance. You have to put God to remembrance. It's not that He has forgotten, no, but He Himself said, you should what? Put me to what? Remembrance. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26. Let's read that scripture. I'll give you other scriptures. You go home, you go and read it. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26. Isaiah 43, verse 26. Put me in what? Remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mightest be what? That is God saying. Said what? Put me to what? Remembrance. Psalm 105, verse 42. Psalm 105, verse 42. Oh, Jesus, thank you. So, with possessive prayers, this is how we go about all them. I'm done. For He remembered His holy word, promise, and Abraham His word, servant. Church, we are possessive in nature. The possessions don't come to us because we claim them, but we know what to do. When it comes to your destiny, possess the gate. When it comes to your provisions, make claims of them. And make sure that wherever you find yourself, the decrees of the kingdom is what? Is enforced. And when it comes to the prophecies concerning you, you must contend. You must what? Fight for them. If you learn to do these things, you will find out that all the time, you will be possessing the things that are yours. So I want to leave you with this last scripture as we stand and pray with this scripture. The book of Psalms, 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 25. Let's watch a man praying through a prophecy. Can you be on your feet? You want to pray? What prophecy has God given you? Today you want to put God to remembrance. Ah, Kumbela Saya. Now this is what David was telling God. When Nathan came and gave him the prophecy that the kingdom shall not be taken from your house until Shiloh comes. David went into prayer. Listen to what he said. And now, O Lord God, the word that house that thou hast what? Spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it for what? Ever. And do as thou hast what? Said. Continue on verse 26. And let the name be magnified forever, saying the Lord of hosts is the God over all Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. He was just remembering God what he said. Can we continue? For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, has revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore had thy servant found his heart to pray this prayer unto you. We are going up to verse 27. 29, sorry. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be what? True. And thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Verse 29, last verse. Therefore now, let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant. Lift up your voice and tell God. Let it please you, Lord. Let it please you, Lord. Yes, I know that I'm not the only person that have the capacity to live that prophecy. But let it please you, Lord, that it is my house you choose to bless. Let it please you, Lord, that it is my house you choose to bless. That it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O God, hast spoken it. And with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Oh, with thy blessing, let thy servant house be blessed forever. Let the prophecies, O Lord, you have spoken concerning me be established forever before thee, Lord. I put you to remembrance every word concerning TMI Accra, TMI Volta, TMI Kumase. We put you to remembrance prophecies concerning this ministry. And we say that let thy blessing dwell on it. Oh, radiko malabasunde kevasataya.
Lord, remember your word unto me, your servant, O Lord. And remember your words you have spoken to the individuals over here. The Bible said, for your words are yea, O God. And we say, amen, O God, unto your word. Adeika baba balo sadakaya. Entetelebra sata. O rakondi la baba sata. Oh, lift up your voice. I don't know what promises God has made unto you. I don't know what prophecies you have received over the time. I don't know what God has said. But I want you to put God to remembrance. Adum pelega de diasaya ha. Adolo mokobo sata. Adula kababa baba dianta. God will be faithful to his word. He will watch over it. And he will perform it. That prophecy will not fail. You will not fail. That prophecy will not fail. It shall be manifested in your life. That prophecy will not fail. There is a prophecy over you. And that prophecy will come to pass. All you need to do is to believe it. And write that prophecy down. After you have written it down, engage the spirit of wisdom to show you the instructions and steps to go by. And commit that prophecy unto God in total obedience unto him. And after thou have committed unto him, continue in prayer until you see a sign of the manifestation. Pray and thank him for the prophecy. And pray and remember him of that prophecy. And by that you shall possess the works that God has spoken unto you. There is a prophecy over you. There is a prophecy over you. There is a prophecy over you. You will not miss it. You will not miss it. You will not miss it. Adela Boseteke. Possess it. Possess it in the name of Jesus.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.